Namaste. All my deepest love and acknowledgements to you all, those of you who are present in this room together, gathering, and those of you who may be elsewhere joining us, listening with our wonderful modern technology. Greatest love and acknowledgements for each of you, for the life that is you, the presence that is self, that is here. Thank you for being here. And for the opportunity to share with you, and the opportunity for us together to share in presence and to bring the gift of this grace forward in our life, in this moment, in each moment. So let's take a moment to acknowledge this grace that is within us, that is our living essence. And as we embrace this, we're able to embrace all of life in this grace. So take a moment to breathe in to your innermost center. Three deep, full breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. As you breathe, feel yourself connecting with your innermost being. Being present to the innermost self that is aware, that is simply here. This self that is always here. This as pure awareness. From the depths of your innermost center, this presence can be known. A deep source of peace and stillness, divine understanding, oneness. It is here that you remember the truth of yourself, that is boundless, that is all connected with all life. Take a deep breath in as you acknowledge this presence. As you acknowledge this presence, your innermost center, gently affirm to yourself, I am here. Feel yourself simply resting at this innermost point of being, centered and all open. In this centeredness and openness is harmony, peace, awareness, and all connectedness. Feel yourself embracing this now. Acknowledging the gift of life within you and all around you. With this acknowledgement now, take another deep breath into your heart center, giving thanks for the presence that is within, for the connectedness of all life, and the gift of being open, centered, and available to the true essence of self that is here. Take a moment to give thanks. As you feel this gratitude, breathe into your body, feeling the body present here, centered and open and calm, feeling the flow of energy that is here in this moment, connected with all things. Feeling the stillness that is here as you are present simply in open awareness. Take another breath into your body and gently stretch. As you stretch, feel yourself maintaining the innermost center of your being whilst you gently open your eyes. Those of you who have been here in company before would recognize that every time we gather, there's always the acknowledgement of our oneness and our true essence, and particularly the expression of gratitude. And that as we really do embrace the space, the opportunity to be in presence, we can feel this immense flow of grace within us and through us. And we can see that it really is here in our life in every moment. And it's something to recognize and give our deepest gratitude to. Yes, it's easy for us to lose sight of that in moments. Nonetheless, even in a brief moment that we bring ourselves back to this opportunity, we can begin to see again how powerful this gift is, how powerful presence is in our life, how it transforms our life in so many ways. And that's what I give thanks for in being of service, in being available to share in presence. I can't express how much joy it brings me to share in this way and how deeply grateful I am to share in this way, because I see that as each of us come back to center, we expand this presence of grace in life. Each of us becomes that expansion, becomes a presence of greater peace and well-being. And what does that rest on fundamentally for each of us? It rests on the nature of ourself as a human being, which is relating. That in every single moment we are relating with life. That's what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's all that's going on. It's very easy, however, to forget that, to get caught up in the thoughts themselves, to get caught up in the belief, or many beliefs, the definitions we give to life. You know, and to give so much importance to that and to misplace meaning in all of that, that we lose sight of this wondrous, never-ending occurrence, which is relating. And if we lose sight of this, we have a very distorted experience with life. We misperceive life deeply. Of course, that comes from a particular state in itself, and that is how we are positioned in ourselves to start with. Where are we oriented in our life, in ourself? Well, we know for most people the orientation is in the mind. We know that at large humanity still occupies this very narrow space of the mind, and it's a very, very small room, but my goodness, it's filled with a lot of stuff, isn't it? How ironic is that, that, you know, that we think me, this me is everything. We think the whole world revolves around this supposed individual, and we make it everything. You know, we make out as if it's the whole world, and the world's going to collapse if we don't get our way in one moment or the other. How crazy that is, because that the space of the mind is just ridiculously small. And yet we give so much power to that. We give so much of our belief to that. Yet that's what's driving primarily most people's experience of relating. In fact, most people aren't even relating. It's not relating that's going on, it's interpreting that's going on. When we come back to this place in our being that is center, you know, I use this one simple word, center. When we come back to this place in our being, we release ourselves from the clutches of the mind. We release ourselves from the limitations of these interpretations, and we awaken again to a being that is purely consciousness. It's not mind. It's not the division of all of these perceptions we experience through mind either. It is pure relating. And what we're going to explore today revolves very much around this. Today I've brought forward the opportunity for us to contemplate relationships, which is something, of course, deeply relevant to every single person, and it remains something that feels enormously challenging to most people. So would you all agree with that, that in your own way you recognise whether it's maybe it's not right now in this moment, but in many, many moments of your life, you'd say, hey, I just feel so challenged by this thing called relationships, mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure we can all put our hands up. Yeah? So I feel it's of enormous value to explore this in a space of conscious presence and love, and to invite ourselves into that center that is our own being, that is awareness. It really knows what is going on if we give ourselves the space to come back to this center. So fundamentally, what's going on, as we all know, is two dynamics. It's either fear or love. Okay, that's the energies we encounter within what we call relationship. And actually, most of the time, what is perceived of as love isn't even love. It's a produced idea of love. Because love is not an event, a person, a circumstance. Love is a state. It's a state. And that state is a constant presence of consciousness, and it's only in that state of consciousness and presence that we can truly experience relating. And I'm going to use these two words quite distinctly, relating compared to relationship. Because it's in relationship that we, if we really explore it, we can see we are actually positioned in our mind. When we're having relationship, we are defining something, we're putting parameters around it. We are identifying it as a certain circumstance, a particular type of experience, and it has conditions to it. It has known conditions, known perceptions and beliefs that contain it. So it's something contained. It's not free-flowing. It's not all open. It's not all connected. It's actually in a state of duality that we experience relationship. And why is that? Again, because of where we're oriented in ourself. You cannot have relating when you are oriented in your mind, and you cannot have relationship when you are oriented in your center. Okay? Yeah. So there's corresponding experiences according to where you situate yourself in your life. So, all of these issues, what are seen or faced as this feeling of challenge in relationships, are coming from where? Mind. Yeah. It's all coming from mind. So, what's the nature of mind? The nature of mind is dualistic. The nature of mind is based in this realm of perception of this and that, me and you. Now, it's not that mind itself is actually the problem. It's simply that mind is a rather limited aspect of consciousness. Mistakenly, many people assume we should be getting rid of the mind if we want to experience our true self. Actually, that's not liberation, that's not enlightenment. In Yoga Sutras, it's suggested that it is when there is cessation of mind that we awaken to our true self, consciousness, which is oneness. Actually, it's the cessation of our identification with mind that brings us to the place of liberation, the experience of liberation and the realization of oneness. Okay? So it's really important you understand that very subtle yet huge shift in how you experience yourself in life. It's not the cessation of your mind, it's the cessation of your identification with mind. Okay? So mind can still go on, and guess what? It is going to go on. Mind is going to keep going on. There is going to be the function, the tool of the mental realm. It has a purpose. And this is really important for you to accept, to be able to experience yourself as center. Because if you continue this notion that you have to stop the mind, get rid of the mind, you will continue to be tied to it. You'll be tied to that identification, this loop of identifying with it. So why is this so important in terms of relating? If you truly want to experience peace and harmony in what you call your relationships, you must find this reconciliation between what you experience as this apparent individuality, mind, and you as being. Okay? There must be a reconciliation. And that comes through correct understanding and meditating upon that consistently. So, everything we see as an issue in relationship, as I said before, is to do with orientation. How do we release ourselves from the identification with our mind? By being oriented in our center. Simple. by being oriented in our center, already the grip of the mind is loosened, the grip of that identification is softened. Already the spaciousness is encountered, that spaciousness. So in that spaciousness is the seen, felt, known energy of oneness. So what is going on every time you feel you have a problem with these so-called things called relationship? What's going on? Are you experiencing oneness or are you experiencing otherness? Well, we all logically know what the reply to that is, don't we? It's otherness, right? So that leads me to another consideration. Just as I said, it's important to have, for want of a better term, correct understanding about mind and that dimension of our being in order to really rest in the space where we just let go of identification with it. In the same way, it's important for us to get in the right context this whole appearance of separate me's. Because whilst we can say that everything is oneness, we can also clearly say there are distinct individual expressions, right? We know that's occurring. And that's what the mind keeps stumbling over. That's what the mind keeps reprocessing. So I call it the feedback loop, because the way you see is so fixated on other, it revalidates that deeper unconscious belief that you actually are separate and other, that who and what you are engaging with is actually a separate other. So we need to find the space in which both of those manifestations belong together. How do they belong together? Just like, how does mind and consciousness belong together? It actually does. Mind is just a very narrow spectrum of consciousness. That's all. Well, this manifestation of body, likewise, is just a very narrow spectrum or manifestation of energy, the one infinite being of energy. So when we're in our mind, you know, we ironically speak of this apparent individual as a me, right? A singular me. You're always saying, my body, my house, I want, I am this, I am that. It's this one singular me, this one apparent ego. But if you look inside this ego, it's a crowd. It's not one. Mm-hmm. It is a mumbling, grumbling crowd of dysfunctional identities. Yeah. There's not one person sitting there. It's a whole mob sitting there. And yet, you know, like I say, ironically, you refer to that as something singular, one. And yet, all of this, which is the many, you call separate and other. This is actually one. It's completely inverted. What is real is completely opposite to the way the ego sees it, the way the ego perceives it. So when you are in your mind, you are many. When you are in center, you are one. And you experience, this is what you experience. This is your relating. Remember I started right at the beginning that all of life, everything that is going on, the only thing going on is relating. So if you're oriented in your innermost being, its center of being, and the nature of that dimension of your being is oneness, how are you going to experience this so-called thing, other? When you are in your center, your sister, your lover, your brother, your friend, your mother, are seen as not other, another version of the oneself. Another version of the oneself. So if you are meeting another version of yourself, another version of the oneself, what is the relating going to be like? There's going to be a sense of wholeness. What else? What else do you feel might arise in that space?
Trust.
Mm. Trust?
Trust. I'm more accepting.
More accepting.
Respect.
Respect.
Humour.
Humour, yes! Yeah! Humour! What else? Yeah, it's not going to be so serious.
Yes.
What else arises when it's not so serious?
Freedom.
Freedom. So, Yeah.
Integrity.
Integrity! Whoa! Wow! That's awesome! Wow! Gosh, we have sages of every age. Okay, so we can immediately recognize that there are these qualities that arise for us if we shift our orientation. And there's a sense of awe, there's a sense of curiosity and adventure and wonder again. So what happens if you're in a state of curiosity? There's just a presence of acceptance and engagement, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what else happens? In a state of oneness, attachment and aversion cannot exist. Mm. Now, I said earlier, I made a comment about the experience of oneness cannot be encountered in the mind. And an experience of separation cannot be encountered in your center. Okay? So this is really about recognizing the qualities that correspond with certain aspects of our being. All of those aspects are okay. It's simply about understanding they are different dynamics of experience. And most likely, you're probably feeling like you've had enough of the experience of separation. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Why have you had enough of it?
It's painful.
Yeah, it's tiring.
It's tiring, isn't it? Yeah. It is really the constant regurgitation that produces all this suffering on the planet, isn't it? So when you are in your ego, you do experience attachment and aversion. And look at the nature of every so-called problem you experience in so-called relationships. What's it based in? Which dynamics? Attachment or aversion, isn't it? If something is not okay, what's its driving force in your mind? either you want to keep it a certain way, attachment, or you want to reject it. Okay? It's attachment or aversion. And when you are in your center, when you are in center of being, consciousness, ego cannot follow you. You think it's a difficult thing to free yourself from this experience of your ego. It's not difficult at all. It's actually profoundly simple. In fact, it is the simplest thing you as a human being can ever experience and reveal to yourself. And that's why... that's why every yogi has a laughing fit for at least a month when they awaken to it again. Because it's just so utterly hilarious. How profoundly simple it is. And all the while you've been you think it's so difficult. So it's
and
how do we do it?
I really like the way you chose the word and rather than but. You know what I do with the but. And you are simply still having the experience, that's all. Yeah, it is simply God being this experience. It's not because you're not meant to be. Right? Mm. Really?
Oh, thank you.
If you look back into the meaning of oneness, and you really, honestly acknowledge what oneness is. It is impossible to say then that you having the experience of your ego is wrong or not a part of that oneness. Okay? And that brings me back to why I was saying before, it's of great value for you to understand in correct context what mind is and the relationship or relating experience you are having with mind, rather than adopting just another one of those stances of what? Aversion. Okay, so, you know, the spiritual journey is also wrought with this attachment aversion attitude that's going on. You're attached to the idea of freedom and oneness, and having an aversion to the manifestation of yourself as the spectrum of God consciousness. You're actually here to be this experience. Every thread in the tapestry of existence is perfectly designed, perfectly in purpose as well. So what does that mean? That also means then that even for the part of you that momentarily is occupying the space of your mind, that part of you that momentarily is experiencing separation can also turn back around and look at itself and see it as a curious happening, a curious adventure. It's actually a curious thing to be that experience. You know what happens then? The suffering dissolves. Yes, you will still experience pain. How many of you remember my little saying?
Pain is inevitable. Suffering
optional.
It's optional. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so, again, this brings us to the inside of context. You see, why are you hoping to awaken to oneness? Be honest with me. What's your motivation?
A bigger perspective.
In order to... I asked you all before, why are you tired of this separation game. Why are you tired of relationship? And what was the answer? You're tired of pain. Okay, that's the primary motivation underlying that desire for oneness, is actually to free yourself of pain. Now, as you evolve, of course it matures into other qualities, but we're talking about the core motivation for humanity. It's actually because you want to get away from your pain. Now, it's not that that's wrong in itself, it's that it's deluded. It actually is deluded because you cannot get away from pain. Pain is an inevitable ingredient, vibration, that is part of life,
mm-hmm.
part of the momentum of energy in life, transformation. Okay? That's all that pain is. You label it pain, but it's just a fluctuation of energy. So if you can, in a sense, correct that deluded perception and really recognize that actually, you know, your motivation, if it actually really isn't that, even though you think it is, even though you're driven with that, then what is it? What is it? Because guess what? If actually it is a delusion to get away from pain, it's not real. That's what I mean by delusion. Okay? It is not real because you can't get away from pain. Then it can't actually be the real motivation. You may think it's the motivation, but if it's not that, what then is it?
Just an energy.
To know your true self.
To know your true self. What does that mean?
To express our true self.
To express, and how do you express your true self? Where does that come from? How do you express your true self?
From your being.
Mm.
Which is?
Central.
Mm.
Through what?
Connection.
Connection, which is through what? I started with a central dynamic of that's the only thing that's going on is what?
Relating.
Right.
You mean like acts of love and acts of...
Well, relating or interacting.
Yeah.
Okay? Because actually consciousness energy is the dynamic of interactive being. Okay? Being, God, consciousness, is in its essence consciousness energy. You can't separate them. They appear differentiated, but they're one and the same. Form, formlessness. Okay? Form, energy, formlessness, consciousness. Okay? So all that's going on is interactive being. So really your motivation, the true motivation, is because you are this interactive being here to experience relating through a spectrum. Okay? Not to escape from that spectrum. Your journey that you label enlightenment, this desire to awaken, you know, to bring harmony into relationships, to have divine sacred relationships, all this, you know, all these notions, is actually not based in most of the ideas that people are driven by. It's really not because you're trying to awaken from, get away from this lowly human realm of pathetic suffering. No, it's because you are interactive being manifesting at many levels, and you are being that experience, and that is all about relating. So in the moments you recognize the vibration of suffering, it's your opportunity to recognize simply that experience of the very, very small spectrum that you are manifesting. A very small spectrum, a momentary spectrum, that's all. You are meant to experience what seems like momentary. How does eternal being express itself or manifest or realize itself? if it's only eternal? It doesn't. It can't. It has to appear as if it's moment and moment and moment, right? So you can make peace with that. And if you make peace with it, you are going to flow moment to moment in a state of centeredness rather than attachment aversion. So that's when you drop your suffering. Yes, you will still encounter pain in some moments.
Can you repeat a bit about the suffering? That's when you,
accept that you are this play, this manifestation of moment and moment and moment, and it appears as something distinct and different. When you really accept that, your small spectrum, this apparent individual self, you can then be centered. You can really be in the now and flow. That is when you drop your suffering. Because like I say, then you no longer have attachment or aversion. It's actually because you are rejecting moment and moment that you have attachment and aversion. Same with the issue of death, okay? Because actually that's central also in the issues that come up in relationship. You're going to die to a certain moment. You're going to die to a certain belief. You're going to die to a certain identity. You're going to be confronted with death through what you call other. They're not going to agree with you. They're not going to want to do the same thing as you. That's a moment of death. You have to die to your way of seeing it. Okay? And in the bigger picture, why don't you fully live? Because you reject this thing you see as death. You reject this thing you think of as death. And because you reject it, because you're terrified of it, you don't fully live. In the same way, you reject actually the nature of moment to moment. How is that evident? Because of your behavior of attachment and aversion. That's the very evidence that you're rejecting. That level of the experience. So again, you see how actually the ego is seeing it totally the opposite way, and how you apply yourself to experience your more liberated dimension of being is opposite to how you've been thinking. The more you try and cast yourself into that transcendent aspect, the more you move away from this little me that's moment to moment to moment, you keep alive that schism. You actually keep that gap alive. So again, there's the irony. If you want to really experience oneness, it's important you first make peace with being this apparent experience of separation. It's okay to have the appearing experience of separation.
Can you give a practical example of what you're saying?
So, remember I was saying you're still this clearly an individual expression of being. Okay? Even though in reality it's all one. But what you cling on to is this identity of actual separation. So you act through that. You're constantly in a state of relating through that belief of separation. So it's a constant bouncing to and fro from attachment to aversion in these interactions with every other person, with every other thing in your life. Right? However, if you are first experiencing what seems like separation and you are totally at peace with it, you say, you know what, it's actually okay that I appear separate from you, and it's beautiful to be this experience. What do we say? What are the qualities that emerge when you actually accept that?
Well, there's just oneness, ease, flow.
Right, and what you then experience is there's another version of self, of life. So it brings forward, grace and humour and freedom, all these qualities.
Yeah.
And so at a practical level, that becomes really evident if you're accepting what seems like separation first.
Mm.
And that's why I say it's so ironic, because you think, seeing as you have this problem and your problems seem based in separation itself, you think the solution is to go to what your mind says is oneness. But actually it keeps you tied to the problem. That doesn't mean you're not meant to go to actually the energy centre of your being that houses or is connected with the space of oneness. Yes, it's important you do cultivate a connection with that space in your being. I'm talking about your interpreting level of how you're interacting with life, because those two things are always going to go on. You are, like I said, mind is not going to stop. You are going to have this level of interpretation that goes on. And if you have a correct relationship with that, you drop into the space that is then conscious cognition rather than simply conceptual cognition. Okay, that's where you get a real state of being, a real state of experience.